Hi, this is Janice, and you are listening to the Self Love Science Podcast. Today, I'm going to talk to you about clearing the mirror. If today, when you look in the mirror, you don't think that you are absolutely the most incredible, amazing, wonderful, powerful, dopest person to have ever existed in all of existence, then you don't see yourself. This isn't about you being better than people. This isn't about you having more value in this world than other people. It is about when you wake up and you look at yourself or the way that you view yourself, however that might be, do you know how amazing you are? Or do you feel like there's something wrong with you? Do you ever ask yourself, why can't I get it right? Why is life treating me like this? Why don't good things come to me? If you ever look at yourself and think that you don't deserve the absolute best in life, or you think that the bad things that are happening are what you deserve, you can't see yourself clearly yet. So I want to share a little bit about my journey, and all of it happened in the realm of healing. I was healing physically, emotionally, spiritually, was learning and growing, and I was in a fight for my life. At the time, I thought it was just about healing my body. But I learned that fighting for your life meant fighting for having an amazing life, one that was worth living, one that you were excited to wake up to. So one day before my diagnosis, I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2019. I was 32 years old. I had a child that was a year old. It was a devastating blow. But when I got that diagnosis, the life that I was living before that was so miserable and so unhappy. I was so depressed that when I got diagnosed, I actually felt relief because I realized that for the first time, I could actually choose myself. I realized that I was actually going to be able to spend all of my time focusing on me being well and me taking care of myself. So in the world of personality types, you could call me at that time a doormat. I was someone who did everything for everyone. I would give, give, give. I would care for others. I would put my needs aside. My own needs wouldn't even make my to-do list ever. And it was causing me a lot of pain because I wasn't receiving in return what I was giving. So life felt, it occurred to me that life, that in this life, I was a victim. It felt like I was at the mercy of everything that was happening to me, that nothing good was going to come, that I would always live this miserable existence. And to describe it a little bit more elaborately, depression didn't look like crying on the floor necessarily. It looked like me waking up every day and just kind of sighing and saying, here we go again, you know, back into this life, back into this existence that it feels like nothing good ever happens to me. I didn't know it at the time, but that was completely interwoven with my self-worth. So when I got diagnosed, I set off on this crazy intense journey to learn how to be well. And I was healing my body through diet. And I was also healing all of my past traumas because I had taken on the goal of that if I was going to meet my maker, I wanted to be clear. I didn't have strong spiritual beliefs at the time. I didn't not believe in God. I just didn't like think about it much. I would kind of look off into the distance and wonder at the vastness of the universe. And I do think that I had some belief about there being something bigger out there. Prior to that, I did have some really amazing spiritual experiences in my life that were undeniably profound and made me think, okay, I don't think it's as simple as us just existing and then we die and then there's nothing. But there was no strong belief. And like I said, I didn't really think about it. So at the time I was, you know, coming from feeling like a victim to my circumstances. I had lived that life for a very long time. It's kind of the way that I learned to cope with not being outspoken, not standing up for myself. Or those things were sort of enmeshed, right? You kind of create your reality. You feel like a victim, but you're not standing up for yourself. And then you go back into this cycle of, well, I am a victim, but then I don't do anything to change it. So there I am. And it just goes, it's like this infinite loop of everything going exactly the same day by day and them sucking. So I remember I was like searching everywhere on the internet looking for a hero. I was listening to all these really amazing speakers like Lisa Nichols, like, oh, I love her so much. I enjoyed listening to Abraham Hicks, Louise Hay, Michael Beckwith, Jay Shetty, just to name a few of the types of people that were really speaking to me, Bob Proctor. And I kept looking for someone that would get it, what I was going through. I wanted to feel understood. And I remember thinking, ugh, like if I could just find someone who was a little bit more like me, you know, like maybe someone Hispanic, then I'd really feel understood. I'd really feel like I could listen to the words of what that person is saying. And those be the words that are going to change my life. And then it got, as time was going on, I was like, well, I don't see anyone that looks like what I think I want. And then I was like, well, maybe if there was somebody that, you know, looked like me and kind of came from the ghetto a little bit, right? Like I grew up in a really low income Title I community, a redlined community. And I grew up in this kind of ghetto family. I love it so much. I'm obsessed with my family. I love how ghetto we are. I think it's so funny. And I just learned to be funny and to have a good time and to party and to be a good person from these people. Very humbling, humble roots, like they say. And I was like, so if this person was maybe a Hispanic, a woman for sure. I need to listen to a woman. And maybe if she was like from the ghetto, but definitely she needs to have gotten like so many relationship issues. Like if she hasn't been through the types of relationship issues that I've been through, she is not going to get it. And I was like, and if she would have like be, if she was a cancer survivor, that would really be even better, you know? And maybe she's someone who's really kind and I'm searching out in the world and I'm trying to find someone I can relate to be my hero, someone who would just understand the depth of my life experience, of the pain that I had been in, of the challenges that I'd face, of the challenges I was facing at that time, trying desperately to survive, to heal everything. And in the beginning, I was moving up the scale of consciousness. Dr. David Hawkins has a scale of consciousness where you move all the way from shame up through enlightenment and you go step by step. And I was on the step right before anger because I remember first being like, man, it sucks that no one exists like that. And then I was moving up like, oh, whatever, I have to just tolerate that nobody like that exists in the world. And then I got to the point that I was like, damn it, like I deserve to live. I deserve to survive, right? Because the question went from, why can't I heal? Why can't I win? Why can't I survive? The question changed to like, could I? Like, is it possible for me to heal and to win and to survive? And then the question turned into, no, like I deserve this. And I'm sick and tired of, you know, people like me not winning. I'm done with this shit. And anger, coming from a person who's a doormat, anger is the gateway Anger is the emotion you get right before your consciousness expands outward. If you're a doormat and you look at anger, if you're a person who doesn't speak up, a person who experiences the world as from the place of being a victim, if you're someone who has not found your voice yet, if you're someone who desires to be heard, to you, anger might look really terrifying. Anger should be your goal. I used to look at people who expressed anger and be like, you're horrible. You make the world suck, because I wasn't standing up for myself. So seeing people who could express anger to me, I'm just like, you make the world worse. But when I got to anger, that's when all of a sudden my consciousness just exploded. And I was like, I deserve to win. I deserve to live. I am meant for something really amazing in this life. And in that same moment, I was like, yo, if I don't find somebody like me, if I don't find a person who is passionate and driven and motivated and excited and all this, standing on a stage in front of me telling me like, you can do it, you can win, then I don't know how I'm going to make it. And I remember thinking, like, if I could just find someone like me. And I looked over to the mirror, and there she was, the hero that I had been waiting for the whole time. And she's staring at me like, girl, where you been? I've been waiting for you. And I looked over, and it was like, before that moment, the mirror was so foggy and cloudy and full of this darkness that was over my head. The sadness, the self-loathing, the guilt, the shame, the feeling like I'm not good enough, the unworthiness, they were clouding my vision so that I couldn't see myself clearly. Because when you see yourself, you know that you are worth so much. Suddenly you recognize that you are a very significant, critical, integral part of the fabric of reality. Think about if you have a shirt and one of the threads gets pulled and it, you know, like messes up the shirt on the bottom. It will never be the same with that thread missing. If you pull out a thread of a shirt, the shirt itself, like you can mend it, but it will always be altered. And that is every single person. You matter so much. If you don't see it, it's because you don't see yourself and your mirror is foggy. If you are a victim and you've been looking for a hero, consider the possibility that there has been a hero ready to come and save you from it right inside of you the whole time. The person who understands exactly what you've been through, the person who could look at the things you've done and be the final voice in saying whether or not you should forgive the thing that has happened to you or the thing that you've done. And that is the key right there. To erase the cloud, start working through all of the doubts and the thoughts that are standing in your way. I used to have the thought of not being smart enough. And it came from my childhood where I was a book nerd and I used to like to stay inside, and like my cousins used to want to go play outside. And kids would be like nerd or goody two shoes. And even all the way through when I got into high school and I used to have like really good grades, and people would make fun of me for being smart. And in order to fit in, I started dumbing myself down. And I was telling myself it was to make other people in the room more comfortable. What I know now as an adult is that I'm not the only one playing the dumb yourself down game. There might be everyone in the room playing the same game, shooting the shit, talking about boring pop culture. I love me some pop culture, but the depth of the conversation never goes past a certain level because we're all playing small. And then what I did was I started overcompensating by trying to educate myself more and more and more and more. And I was like, maybe once I have read all the books in the world, I will qualify and I will be smart enough to teach people how to love themselves. And what I know now is the only thing you need to know how to do in order to teach someone else is how to do the thing that you want to teach them. And the most profound and amazing and beautiful life lesson that I got on my healing journey was how to love myself. It has been the most gruesome, tumultuous, bumpy road that has led to an oasis, a fountain, a well of infinite flowing love for myself, peace. I feel joy. I feel capable. I feel strength. I feel excited. I went from looking at myself in the mirror and being like, oh, you're disgusting. You know, as a young girl, I was a woman. I did not have a child young. I had a child when I was 32. And I would look in the mirror and be like, oh, this is disgusting. And the life you live is because you're not good enough to do anything else. And you can't teach others. You're not smart enough to do it. To now looking in the mirror, and I feel like I have a cheerleading squad behind me telling me how amazing I am, that I am perfect, not in spite of everything that I've been through, but as a direct result of all of it. That I am amazing because I've survived so much. I've learned so many lessons. I have tried being kind and I've tried being cruel. I've tried being smart and I've tried being dumb. I've tried looking good and I have experienced being embarrassed. I have gone through so many life lessons, and had any of those hairs been misplaced, had things gone any different, I wouldn't get to be this person today. That's the moment. That is what is available to you when you learn how to love yourself and you clear this fog out of the mirror. Like imagine that in the exact life you've lived right now, there's a future self looking at you and they're like, I remember that time. Oh, that was brutal. Imagine sitting down talking to someone who's going through a hard time and telling them, oh my gosh, I remember when I used to think these negative things about myself, but not today. Today, I think I'm talented. I think I'm beautiful in the moment. I think that physical beauty especially is one that speaks to me in this conversation because culturally, there's a trend of sort of let's all point out what we don't like about ourselves, right? Like our physical appearance. But then after a while, that becomes your internal dialogue. And there's this thing that people have that if you call yourself beautiful now, that you're arrogant, you're conceited. But if you were to say, man, I remember when I used to be so beautiful, that's perfectly acceptable because as long as you're not saying, I feel beautiful in the present moment, people are okay with it. Like, it is not arrogant to believe that you're beautiful. And I think, like, fuck saying you're beautiful on the inside. If you don't feel attractive on the outside, but I've got a great personality. No, like, look in the mirror and say, I am beautiful. And let the semantics of that beauty iron themselves out in your brain. You're physically beautiful. Humans and all of our power and our capabilities, everything about us is so, there is just this intelligent design, right? If you have eyes to see, if you have hands to feel, if you have a mouth with which to speak or hands that you can write with, if you don't have a voice to speak, if any of those things that I said don't fall into who you are, you get where I'm going with this, like your physical body, perhaps It is legs to walk with. Perhaps it is like a cool haircut, whatever. Look in the mirror and say, I am beautiful. I am enough. I am amazing. I am constantly surrounded by love. I am always surrounded by kind and intelligent people who value and love me. And when you first start saying it, you're going to feel discomfort wherever your limits are. So if you look in the mirror and say, I am always surrounded by love, you might feel some ugliness come up inside of you. Your brain might say, this is stupid. No, you're not. Whatever your brain says right after you say something nice to yourself is exactly the voice that is stopping you from living an amazing life. If you look in the mirror and say, you know, I am so happy and grateful to be myself, and your brain goes, oh, this is dumb. That's the same sound, the same cadence and rhythm of the program that's stopping you from living an amazing life. Like, oh, I should go off and, you know, follow my dream of being an artist. And your brain goes, oh, this is dumb, blah, blah, blah. And it's filling, ironing out the semantics of that language. So look in the mirror. If there's something that is standing in your way of you feeling beautiful, perhaps it's something ugly that you've done or that you've been through. Write in a journal, get the thoughts out, let them free themselves from your body, and write as many letters and as many journal entries as you can until, as your pen is writing the words of what you've been through, you no longer feel the weight of it on your soul. Decrease those negative emotions and increase the positive emotions. Everything that you like, all of your talents and your hobbies, that's what makes you you. All of what you've been through, that's what makes you you. I have never met a person in this life who is not interesting. I have thought some people were boring. I'm not going to lie on that part. But even when somebody responds, I've asked people, oh, what? Tell me something interesting about you. And they respond with, oh, there's nothing interesting about me. That is a fascinating response anyway. What I look at it like, what occurrences have happened in your life? What events have transpired that led you to having this interaction? And your expression of self is, oh, I've got nothing interesting going on. But maybe they go home and do something really cool. So clean the mirror. I mean, like, if you could see yourself the way that I see you, you would see nothing but infinite beauty. You would see nothing but magnificence and grace and love. I see people like the souls that power the vessel. I see people like this intersectionality of experiences. There, when I went off into my healing journey, I needed something from the world. I needed proof that healing was possible. So one of the very first things that I did is I listened to everyone who would speak to me. I asked questions to everyone who would stop and have a conversation with me. And because I was in search of this like hidden gem, this secret, you know, to healing, to being well, to longevity, I accepted everyone. I didn't care what your political views were. I didn't care what your any demographics about you. I didn't care if your worldviews were opposing to mine. All I cared about was, what knowledge do you have about the way that the world works? Because every single human being on planet Earth is carrying the only vantage point available in this world from them. You get what I'm saying? Like, your vantage point is unique. It is a one in all of existence experience. So any one person could have some amazing thing that they could share with you, something you could learn from them. So that's, I think, everybody's like really dope. I listened and I learned and I was open and I was patient. I was kind. I was friendly. And I found that most people are just really good people. And my overall experience was kindness. I did have a few people that I had put on a pedestal, and then they kind of like dropped down from it, and it didn't matter. I was still learning. I was still getting something from that. So take care. Be well. Love yourself. Clear the mirror. And I hope all of your dreams come true.